Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
Welcome along, folks. Welcome along once again. Actually, do you know something? There now follows an election broadcast on behalf of PJ and Jim. Aren't we? We're going cap in hand on this one. Didn't we say we would do
it? What are we doing?
Oh my God, do you ever listen?
Wait, yeah.
Literally, right, we said we were going to put it out that, you know, these podcast awards things are happening.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, yeah.
So there's these things, the Irish Podcast Awards, right? Now, look, let's be honest. Neither of us knew anything about it. But
then somebody sent us a link and all. And you can vote for us or something. Isn't that right?
Where
you do it on.
Now, okay, admittedly, right, we weren't included in any of the nominations. That's not the point.
Nothing to do with it.
Yeah, nobody considered putting us into an actual category.
It's essentially like when Dustin ran for president.
We're on
it regardless.
No, but listen, there's this category, right, called Listener's Choice. And it refers to absolutely anything.
Yeah.
So you don't have to have been included in a different category. You can, in the Listener's Choice, somebody can just put you forward and vote for you in the Listener's Choice. And that's what we want people to do. Now, how do you do that, you say?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, I say.
I haven't a Riddler, but it'll be on some social media thing we'll put up, I suppose. Yeah.
Somebody somewhere. I mean, I'd say when they push this podcast out, they'll probably put, you know, links and things to it. You know,
and that
way then, and vote for us and tell everybody else to vote for us as well.
Like and share and all that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
because
then watch us
like
moan if we actually get nominated. Oh, I can't believe it's to go somewhere. Oh, Jesus.
We could end up like Seabiscuit or something.
Will you please just try and vote for me? I just like, try and leave Jim out. Because I'm still sore about Jim being like, you know, an award-winning comedian when he only did one stupid gig ever in his life.
And the fact that it was a support gig to you.
Yeah, which even hurts even more.
It was a show award. It was a joint effort.
Thank God we're on the podcast because me bollocks it was. It has his name written on it. Jim Stands Up is what the award
is
made out of.
Look, come on. Floats all boats or whatever that expression is.
It doesn't shite. Again, I just went, got hung over my desk and did nothing for me.
Just vote for our podcast.
For me. Thank you. Podcast House. Put it in. PJ Gallagher. Don't do any of this, Jim.
No, don't just do that, because there's probably other things you've been on and it'll get a vote. You're on every feckin' thing anyway.
Should
the amount of podcasts you do? You're a podcast prostitute. That's what you are.
And everyone has one now. It's just the different levels of podcast there is out there. Some people say, will you come and do mine? And you're saying, well, what is it? And they say, well, I'm a professor of arts at the University of Cockology, and we'd love to interview you and get under your psyche. And you turn up and they have a studio and there's a producer there, and you
impressive.
Do all these things and you do your podcast and it goes, what, grand? And then someone else like, will you do my podcast? You're like, well, what is it? They go, well, Darren, we do it in the kitchen. Yeah, we'll just have to stop every so often while we Maz doing the dinners or whatever.
Yeah.
And then
record it into my phone.
Yeah, and they're normally the better ones. They're actually normally the ones that go better or have a better dynamic to them, you know.
But it's true there's so many, isn't it?
Millions. Like, you know, everyone has.
And that's the weird thing, right? People present that as a good thing.
Yeah.
Right, so they'll always say, if somebody said to you, you know, something about podcasts or whatever, oh, sure, there's millions and there's loads of great podcasts out there. Thousands. That's the feckin' problem. Trying to find one.
Trying to find the good ones.
Exactly, because there's loads of I'm not interested in.
Yeah, and then you end up, you get three series episodes into some series and it's brutal. I remember, like, me and Jim were looking for podcasts, right? We were looking for these, and like, murder's a big thing when it comes to podcasts. Murders and, you know, cases and unsolved crimes and all this. And then we were running thin because Jim goes to me, I have a podcast for you. It's about a fella who ripped ladies' jackets in Norwich in the 1800s, he goes. And I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, bear with me. It's about, he rips their jackets. Now, I know it sounds a bit mad, but it is listenable. Yeah, and I listened to it. And it was bananas. And I had these fellas doing accents of English coppers back in the 1800s going, oh, hello, Jimmy. Did you see you whip that woman's jacket? And he's like, he's a slasher.
Tell me that wasn't one of the best podcasts you ever, one of the most enjoyable experiences, unexpected experiences you've ever had.
Actually, to be fair to you, it was.
It was called, it was something, the something slasher. Huddersfield or somewhere.
But he wasn't a slasher like murder. He's slashing coats and all.
Yeah, he just used to jump out behind people and cut the back of their jackets or whatever.
He wasn't a murderer. And he was just a prick.
And apparently, and it wasn't in the feckin' 1800s. It was like the, I don't know, the 40s or the 50s.
Or the
60s or something.
I thought it was back Jack the Ripper.
No, it was around that. Like it had, you know what I mean? It was like fucking Zed Cars time. You know when that was?
Whatever that was.
But anyway, that's this thing. And apparently it terrorised.
Norwich.
Yeah, people wouldn't go out at night and all that.
Yeah,
was it in Norwich? It was somewhere like that, wasn't it?
It was some Northern England sort of thing. I think
it was Norwich.
Or was it near Leeds, actually? Maybe it was Leeds.
It could be that, yeah.
Oh, I got that. How wrong could I get that now? How wrong? So I had the wrong wrong century. I had the wrong part of England. I got literally everything wrong.
Oh my God.
She's never listened to me telling the story.
I actually found that very interesting. But you're right, it was a very different type of podcast.
Oh, it was very different, yeah.
Like the true crime thing, and when they were, because they were sort of recounting the coppers' conversations.
Yeah, and they acted it all out.
At a time when people had to go next door to use the phone and all.
Yeah, yeah. And they'd put the phone things in, bring, bring. And you're like, hello, Leeds Police Station. You know, it was. And there was, I've just seen a man who looks he looks quite dapper holding his Stanley knife behind a cobblestone wall.
And I think they actually had to bring, I think they brought in, like, specialist cops from, you know, like, sent them down from Leeds or whatever the nearest big city was.
To Manchester
or wherever the feck they were, right? I can't remember. Wish I could remember the name of the place. But they actually sent in, had to send down the special branch.
Came out. Oh, I mean, yeah, you boys can't handle this jacket ripper. We gotta find him. I love that there was fellas that sat down and thought, I don't care. We're gonna make this podcast.
And by the
six
way,
episodes or whatever.
This
it was.
Wasn't been made like as a piss take.
Not
it wasn't
tongue in cheek.
This was serious.
I
think your woman who even voiced it is like quite a well known actress and all.
Yeah,
like as in, you know what I mean?
She in the soaps or something.
Yeah, she'd appeared in, I don't know, Casualty
Brooks
or Emmerdale.
Yeah, one of them, definitely. It's gas. Some podcasts, they're just, you know, there's not enough substance to them. Like, I listened to this one, The Confession Line, and it was about this guy, and he set up he put all these flyers up The Confession Line, and, you know, people would ring up and totally anonymously, like back in the day from phone boxes, say, oh, yeah, whatever, they'd be into mad stuff, a lot of sexual stuff. Oh, put me Willie in a pint glass and pour and wax over it and all this, whatever, weird stuff, right? And then it was like, one day this guy rings up and he goes, I'm a murderer and I'm going to kill again.
Wow.
And so this went on for years, and after a certain murders would happen, this guy would ring and say, I did that. Now, what are you going to do about it? And all, you know, and and they got talking, and he was trying to understand the psyche of a murderer, right? And then the guy who set up the confession line realised he was going to die, and he wanted to find out who this guy was before he died. And he died, and they found out your man was just a spoofer. And that was the end of the podcast. They had nothing to fucking do with a murderer.
He was just a serial confessor.
It was just a lad who just thought it was gas to ring your man and tell him he was doing all these things. That was it. That was the end of the podcast. And his wife was going, he was such a dedicated man. He gave his life. It was a waste of time.
I thought you were going to say it was a bit like me, just going around going, that's probably my fault. I'm probably to blame for that, am I?
Yeah, that's Jim's podcast. Jim should do a podcast on the calamities I believe I have caused.
My probable role in most tragedies.
My role in my downfall. That actually would be a good podcast. People just talking about the stupid decisions they made.
Didn't you tell me there was another one that you found really frustrating where some lad was part of he was doing, you know, the way, like, the soccer hooligan thing is a big thing.
An audio book.
Is that what it was? And because that's a big deal, and obviously there's firms, as they call them, and rival gangs and everything involved. And apparently you were set up for this, like it was going to be, you know, really full on hard men kind of stuff, and apparently nothing fucking happens.
Nothing happens. So the first one, the first chapter one is brilliant. He turns up and he goes, I think it was in Brazil. And he meets whoever, I don't know, Santiago. That's not Argentina. Corinthians. I don't know who it was. Well, he goes to Brazil and he's doing the whole, and he's like hanging out with the hooligans. He goes, I met them in this shady bar and it was really dangerous. And some of them were armed. The leader of this gang with a tattoo on his face, blah, 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 right? And then you're like, wow.
Oh, setting the scene. This sounds great.
And then he goes to the match and he says, and the atmosphere was electric as the hoodlums controlled the crowd. And you're like, oh, wow. And then he goes off to somewhere else next to Egypt or something. And he's there. I walked into the room. I met them in the dodgy bar. The man had tattoos on his face. I was like, you've just told me this story about a different. They controlled the crowd. It was unbelievable. Everybody was afraid of them. It was shocking. And then I went to Argentina and I met them in the dodgy bar. And it was the same shit over and over again. And nothing happened. There was never a fight.
Did he really sound like that? Like he appeared in an episode of Open All Hours?
Yeah.
He was like a hard-edged Norman Wisdom.
Yeah, imagine.
It's nothing happening. It's Mr. Grimsdale. It's not happening.
Yeah, imagine. We went to the hoodlums, started chanting the famous chant, "Well, I'm cleaning windows."
You see, that's the trouble, you see.
My old man's a dustman. He wears a dustman's hat.
Everybody. That's the trouble. When you're trying to find a decent podcast, sometimes choice is a bad thing.
It is, yeah. Because
all that
much,
is about, you need
much.
Somebody to make a recommendation to you.
You do, yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's like, you know.
I'm not Jim McCabe, unless you want to hear about jacket slashers and pickpockets.
Yeah, I have to confess. But you know, when I saw such and such slasher, I thought it was going to be like a true crime.
Yeah,
you know, totally like a Jack the Ripper.
Well, in fairness, it was a true crime.
It was true crime. Just turns out it wasn't a very big deal.
It's like, you know, I can't wait till Jimmy recommends the next one, the Sheep Fondler of Llandudno. Yeah, yeah, 12 episodes.
Note to self. Google Sheep Fondler of Llandudno. Oh, right, anyway, listen, here, let's give you some of the best bits from Jordan the Week. What were we talking about Jordan the Week? We were talking about driving tests. What were we talking about with driving
we
tests?
We were talking about people, one particular person, how many times they failed it.
Oh,
and that maybe it gets to a point where the road is just a place you shouldn't be.
Yeah, it's just not for you.
Yeah.
So we had a chat about driving tests during the week. That's on the way. Also, we had a chat about prison. Not about trying to avoid it, but,
no,
but actually about the... Well, it's
a short stay that I had in prison, actually.
That's true. And the kind of... Well, to be honest with you, a form of behaviour you wouldn't necessarily associate with hardened criminals, really. The likes and dislikes of hardened criminals.
Yeah, I mean, just don't even have a menu in some of those jails.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. I mean, some of those places have people who've ripped jackets and everything. Yeah. Also, footballer Marcus Rashford, I was going to say made an appearance on the show. That's not quite true. That'd be stretching it a bit. But we were talking about him because apparently he made an appearance in the Beano.
Yeah, he's in the Beano as a guest editor.
Yeah.
Yeah, too. So
so that led us down a specific path and also led to a wonderful moment of PJ Gallagher humiliation.
Yeah, which happened only on the weekend. Oh my God.
Which he recounted. And also then, Countdown. It looks as though we'll be having somebody taking part in Countdown who might become an actual Irish champion.
Yeah, right into the grand final in October we'll get to see him. So it's kind of about... Well, I guess about your own personal challenges when you're watching these shows.
The old home players on game shows. Anyway, but so listen, have a little listen, and we'll talk to you the other side.
Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
And one of the things that most people agree on that they would never like to have to face again, right? There's a few things that you have to get through in life that you'd hope you'd never have to face again. Maybe the leaving cert or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But the driving test is definitely one of them. Once you have that out of the way.
Yeah, thank God. It's so, nobody finds it not traumatic.
Exactly.
Like, it's always such a chore. You know, you get so nervous coming up to it and all of that, you know. And then maybe you feel hard done by if you fail.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you feel hard done by. So there's been a lot of complaints that have gone that way. 1,400 complaints, actually, of people who have complained about their tester as they did their test, if you know what I mean.
Oh, right. So yeah, they reckon they were done.
They reckon it was unfair. Yeah, one woman said she failed because she was so nervous after, in the middle of the test, the tester turned around to her and screamed, "Jesus Christ, woman, the handbrake!" Yeah. She doesn't say exactly why that was screamed.
Yeah, how that came about, what the circumstances were.
Yeah, no explanation.
Interesting.
But yeah, so you can imagine that it probably was a failure before that point anyway, to be quite honest with you. You know, it's just one of those things. One woman said she was very upset when her car cut out and was in danger of rolling backwards, and the tester screamed at her to stop the car rolling backwards when she was in the state of when she was upset,
right,
which of course she wasn't going to do. So it's very hard.
So, okay, she was a bit upset about the fact that the car was rolling backwards, but didn't intend to do anything about it.
Yeah, she was just like, she should be allowed to be upset for a little minute. You know, without having to get screamed at.
While they're careering backwards downhill.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then there's
right.
And then there's another fella who complained. He says, "It's absolutely outrageous I failed my test. How am I supposed to pass if the inspector is going to be in the car? I found it very intimidating." Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Found it very intimidating. He said he had no idea. He said he had no idea in the build-up that the tester was going to be in the car.
Okay.
In this day and age, you could easily put cameras and all.
I suppose, yeah. Or else just send him off on his way and say, "Come back in about half an hour." When he gets back, go, "How did it go?" "It was grand." "Okay.
Yeah, well,
that'll do for me. Your pass."
Yes. See if you can make it to Cork and back. And if you do, I'll give you your licence. People are so entitled. It's unbelievable, you know.
Yeah.
One woman failed for not driving fast enough.
Not driving fast enough?
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Okay.
And she said again she wasn't driving fast because she was worried about the tester in the car. Says she didn't want anything to happen to him. She was looking after him.
Concerned for his safety.
Yeah,
because in fairness, he's in the car with me. God knows what could happen.
God, anything could happen. I mean, in fairness, some of them are mad. One fella punished 5 times for not going fast enough on the straight, which he disagrees with. Another person says they shouldn't have failed because it was raining and it's not fair that you should be driving in the rain when you're doing a test.
Yeah, because let's face it, you'd never have to face that in real life situations.
Imagine having
to drive in the rain.
But they were saying they wouldn't go out in the rain in real life. They said they wouldn't like it. So there you go, Jim. But snared rapid back at you.
They wouldn't like it.
No, they wouldn't like it. So they said it's totally unfair.
Yeah.
If I'm only going to drive in the dry, that I get tested in the wet.
It's tough to actually argue with that logic, isn't it?
Because why would anyone want to use a car in bad weather? Like, why would anyone want to stay dry when they're using transport? I know, it's mad.
That's mental stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and then one other person, he failed his test because he had a row with the driving instructor fella when he insisted the airbags were not turned off in the car. And he says, "Why, did you not trust me or something?"
What's the instructor want me?
The instructor says, "Can you turn the airbags on?" You know, the airbags off came up on the screen. And he goes, "Can you turn them on?" And he goes, "Oh, yeah, do you not trust me or something?" "No." He says, "Of course I don't trust you. I'm literally here to see if you're competent." Man, I'd never forget. I was doing a pre-test. You know the way you can do a pre-test to see if you pass? And they were doing, and your man was sitting in the car with me. And you know the way you do the reverse around the corner? Like, that was I don't know if it still is, but that was definitely a thing when I did it.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking over my left shoulder and he's looking over his left shoulder, right? So the back of his head is what I'm facing, essentially, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then as we were going around the corner, I felt a sneeze coming. And I was like,
sadly, I know this.
And as I was trying not to sneeze, and instead, like, if that was now, I'd just stop the car and I would sneeze and then carry on again.
Yeah.
But I thought to myself, I have to get around the corner. I have to get around the corner before I sneeze. And the more I tried to hold the sneeze, the worse the car was doing around the corner. And your man just kept going like this, closer, closer to the curb, closer to the curb. And Matt, bang, I sneezed, went, "Achoo!" And I could see the snot jump out of me like a big lot. And I swear, it was like, it was about 2 inches out of my nose before it broke. And then it flipped. I could see it flipping. It was going round in circles and it hit him on the back of his head and went right up onto the crown, big line of snot in the back of his head. And the car stopped in the middle of the road and he just looked around at me and said nothing. He took a hanky out of his pocket and started dabbing the back of his head. And then goes, "Continue straight on until you're given another direction," he goes.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
Occasionally, there's a story comes along that just, well, you know, it catches you off guard.
Yeah,
for some reason, they're just it feels like opposites.
It kind of does a little
somehow.
Bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
In the prisons at the moment, it looks like the it looks like their country. They'll spend 80 million on sweets, tobacco, fizzy drinks, biscuits, like all those things that, you know, Jaffa cakes, lemon puffs are apparently very popular in prison. The old chocolate hobnobs are very popular. Rich tea, quite popular. Very plain, I would have thought. I would have thought if you're looking at four grey walls, you'd want something a little bit more spicy in your life than a rich tea.
I mean, I don't know why it struck as feeling a little bit. It's just, I don't know why that, you know, obviously everybody enjoys, there's not, you know, anybody from any part of any walk of life can enjoy a lemon puff and a chocolate hobnob.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you have a very sort of specific vision of maybe the hardened,
I know,
tough
yeah.
criminal.
Especially like you see packs of Skittles and Jammy Dodgers and all.
That's
and you start thinking to yourself, they're all in
jellies.
In bags of jellies, yeah. And you start thinking to yourself, it just sounds like a creche for bold adults. Doesn't it? It's like their mummies and daddies dropped them off and said, now you have a good time and I'll be back later. And if you're bold, if you
I'll
get
see it in 15 years.
Yeah, you can imagine the warden, you know, just going, did you hit him? He hit me first. You know, yeah, that's it. No Jammy Dodgers on the right wing tonight. Everybody going to sleep early.
It does have a feel of that ad. You know that ad what they do for Haribo? Where they have the grown adults and they did with the kids' voices. It does kind of feel a little bit like that.
It does,
that,
doesn't it?
You know,
yeah.
These really tough, hardened lads who have, you know,
yeah, yeah,
committed crime.
You got like
are sitting around
some
going,
headcase
I
murderer.
I love the way it makes your tongue tingle when you put it on.
Yeah, yeah. What do you mean I haven't got me jelly eggs? You know, it just makes it sound like you're going to put someone, like a bank robber, on the naughty step.
Yeah.
If he steps out of line or doesn't clean up his room, you know.
Yeah, and it must be tough, I'd say, to have to tell maybe, you know, one of the prisoners that their favourite jellies are out of stock or something.
Yeah, imagine that, yeah.
What do you say? I don't know why he'd come. I don't
in
know
an
why
English accent.
I don't know why he'd come from.
It's because of all the drama
from the East End. What are you talking about? Anyway, yeah. So imagine telling somebody, "No, sorry, we don't have any of them Haribos."
Some big famous gangster, and you know he knows your address and all, and he's there. What you mean? You run out of lemon puffs? I'm honest, mate. You be there going, "I'll get you me own. I'll get you. Don't worry about that." It's not makes it like you know the way people be smuggling drugs in and stuff. And you start thinking they'll be smuggling in custard creams or bourbons or something. You know, like you're paying off the screws to bring in a pocket full of biscuits.
It just goes to prove, though, no matter who you are, no matter how hard you are,
yeah.
that, you know, a man can be, you know, simply pleased.
I know, it kind of is. I have this idea in my head now that you walk in Mountjoy and any day of the week there's, you know, a banner with happy birthday Slasher and they're all, you know, don't tell him.
Yeah.
And then Slasher comes out and he goes, oh no, I wanted an ice cream cake. And then there's like a big game of Twister. You know, they're all like, yeah. Come on!
It also reminds me of this. I mean, like you were talking about all the kind of, you know, I wouldn't call, yeah, treats, I suppose you could call them. Although they buy them, I suppose. No, it's not just given. They have to buy them, don't they?
Yeah, oh no, you buy them. Yeah. It goes in. This is the prison tuck shops and stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, but it does remind me of the time that you went in to do, wasn't it a performance, some sort of thing, or were you filming something? What were you in for? Or was it just a crime?
Oh, in
had
the
you
jail.
Committed a crime,
yeah. Oh, no, I was in doing a gig. No, I was in, yeah, I was in doing the gig, yeah.
That's right, yeah,
what,
yeah.
And what an idiot I was, yeah, standing in the queue. I thought we were, like, you know, we'd be brought in backstage or something. But should they just left us in?
Backstage?
Yeah, I know, I didn't think it through.
So that the prison was just, it's a film set.
Yeah, it's a film set, yeah. And they brought us all in and they just left us in the room with the prisoners before the show. I was like, oh, my God. And then I was queuing up at the buffet thing. To get, I was a vegetarian at the time.
Yeah.
And I got to the counter and I said to your man, do you have any vegetarian options? And he goes, yeah, we have chicken. I went, that'll do. That's grand, yeah.
I assume the guy serving you was tough enough.
Yeah, he was tough enough as well. And then, because I says to him then, what's the sauce on the chicken? And he says, it's chicken sauce. I was that's how, yeah, that's helpful.
That's what, that's my favourite chicken, chicken sauce.
Oh, gee. And then the guy next to me started reusing, he says, will you say hello to me girlfriend on the phone? And I was, and the screw wouldn't let him make a phone call. And then he was all upset because he had to use the credit on his mobile. And we got to the end of the queue.
Yeah.
And your woman goes, tea or coffee? And I was in Mountjoy with lifers, and I went to cappuccino, please, if you don't mind.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
Well, you know, we always love a good Irish champion, all right? You know, it's all, nothing better to celebrate than Ireland being better than other nations at anything, really.
The competitive element,
We do. I mean, you know, and we do, you know, especially when we kind of like... You know what they say is what's that expression about boxing or fight? What's that? Punching above our weight. That's the one. Thank you, sir. And that, you know, I love that. It's great. It's always great. We celebrate our champions. Even if we don't understand what they did.
Exactly. And I'm just looking at this guy, Edward Byrne, is his name. Not Ed Byrne, the comedian. Totally different fella. He is into the countdown final. An Irish fella into the countdown final. He won 8 games in a row, which means he qualifies. It's his second time having a go at the show. He tried in 2014, but he only lasted 2 games. He got knocked out. And you probably know his face if you ever watch First Dates on RT2, because he was in First Dates. He went on a date, an unsuccessful date.
Oh, right. So the boy wants to be on the television.
He wants to be on the TV, but he's definitely got a smarts about him. So he's into the final. Says he used to watch Countdown with his granny many years ago, and it got him really interested in it, and he started being good at conundrums and conundrums, if that's what you call them. So best of luck to him. It's October he'll be in. You can watch him in October.
So how many people are in the final? Is it it's not just a head-to-head, is it?
Here you go. This is it. I never knew there was a final on Countdown.
There you go. See,
I just thought it kept going.
We're happy to celebrate it even when we don't understand what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. I can't watch Countdown. It just makes me feel like a moron. I sit, you know, the way they put the words up, however many letters, and they're doing a vowel, please, a consonant, please, whatever. And then they go, right, it goes to the, you know, the contestants. It's like, I have 9. It's like, I have 7. And I'm at home going, I have 3.
Yeah.
Cat.
Yeah.
Cat.
I'm exactly that. Yeah. I am awful at that stuff as well. And they regularly get 7s, and I've only got a 7. Have you? Only got a 7.
Yeah.
And I have a 2. Ass.
Yeah. And then it goes to your man with the glasses on, and he goes, actually, there's only 11 letters, but there's actually a 13 in it. if you read, you know, that you're going, how did they do this?
And this, don't get me started on the sums, the numbers.
Not a lick of sense.
Oh, God. And I've got it spot on, or I have it within 1.
What? Yeah.
I'm still at it. They're finished. And I'm going, right, so if you add the 10... to the 75, that's 8. Over.
Oh, they're doing the total sum, and she's out and writing down, doing the whole sums on the board, and I'm still trying to figure out the one in 6th class in primary school when the train was going for and Jerry had 2 apples in his pocket, and he gave Philip
and he lost his trousers.
And Jimmy gave him a pair, so what does he have? I'm like, here, get out of it. I always do it, though. I always test myself against these shows, like The Chase. I love The Chase. I love watching The Chase.
See, the advantage of The Chase as well is the multiple choice element. You know what I mean? You always give it, like...
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Although the best part is, you know when you get it wrong, and let's face it, you and I both know that we do know what it's like to get it wrong.
Big time.
Regularly, right?
Yeah, big time.
And you do that thing, right? Rather than just, you know, like you're wrong.
Yeah.
You just got it wrong. You do that thing of like, God, right, yeah, I could have. I was convinced it was. Nobody cares.
You do that nod and head thing. Oh, yeah. As if I should have known that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Should have known that.
Oh, yeah. No, they mean the in the 15th century. Oh, no, I was thinking of. No, I know what you mean now.
Isn't it?
About?
The book written by Chinese Emperor Shouting Ming was released, and you're like, I should have known that.
Oh, Shouting Ming.
Shouting Ming. Oh, sorry.
Oh, I thought it was.
I had Jerry, different fella altogether. I know, it's gas. And then you do the quickfire round. You know, I love the quickfire round. And you're like, right, we're in. And you start going, right, if I was on this show, I'm going to pretend now and see where I get. And the chaser goes second, and it's like, oh, 21, you nearly had him on there. Right, 4, I got 4. Yeah, 4. The colour. And it'd be something. And it'd be something like, the river that runs through Dublin is called what? You know, something that might throw the English, but... Yeah, you have it nailed on.
And the best of it, you get that one question right, you know, of your four correct answers, while they've gotten 21 or whatever. And then the one you get right that they got wrong, you're like, imagine not knowing that.
How'd you not know that, you tick?
Imagine not knowing that. The Liffey. Oh my God.
Yeah, everybody knows the compound thing of tyres, yeah. I know, it's gas, like, but yeah.
When you take the wild guess is the best. But if you're in company, if you're sitting there with somebody else watching it and you take the wild guess and you get it right and you don't pretend it was a wild guess, you go, yeah. How do you know that Dickensian.
Well,
just one of those things you pick up.
Yeah, you know, I don't know where I got the, it was something about, I read something about King Henry VIII and hanging out with the Pope. Years ago. I think it was in the Sunday World.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
To be honest, I was about to say somebody else has written a book. Literally, that couldn't be more wrong. The bloke has done something for a comic.
Oh, yeah, you know, Marcus Rashford, yeah. He definitely has not written a book. What he has done, he's written a story for the Beano.
Yeah, well, come on, you have to start somewhere.
Yeah, he's written the story for the Beano, and he's been a guest editor for this issue of the Beano that's out now. And of course, he wrote himself into the stories with Dennis the Menace and Nasher and all. Was that the idea,
or did he just do it?
I think he wanted to. He says he wants people to, or young people, to find their voice. So it's like a little bit of a campaign for young people to sort of write and speak up and all that sort of stuff. But it is still the Beano, though. Like, you know, if you meet someone. You know, because I think we're at that age, you know, where you sort of, everybody's at their professional levels, you know, some of your friends fell off the radar and other lads, they're out there writing books or they're writing plays or they're scientists or, you know, and then, you know, what are you doing yourself? Beano wrote about a dog that he stole the ham sandwich off a fella who was in school.
What you're saying basically is that he may not end up being, you know, invited onto some literary review.
Yeah.
He may not rock up on the book show or whatever the equivalent now is.
He's not going to win the Booker Prize.
What was the inspiration for the story? Well, I saw it happening.
Yeah, I imagined a kangaroo on a pogo stick and I thought that'd be funny. And then I asked the man to draw the picture of it.
There are people who take comics very seriously.
They are. They don't call them comics, though. Something novels or something like that.
Graphic novels.
But yeah,
I don't know if you'd refer to the Beano as a graphic novel, though. I mean, to be fair, we did think for a while that your school was the basis for the Backstreet Kids.
It is a little bit like that Pogue and all. I think I was Pogue. I guess that's it, though.
I think he was called Plug, by the way.
Oh, Plug?
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez, Plug. That's a dog.
Yeah.
There you go. This is it. You have to know your place in life. Yesterday, I was talking to this woman, right? Yeah. Met her, I was chatting away to her. Right. And you know the way you're really getting on with someone and all? And, you know, you start thinking, she starts talking about her ex and all. And you're like, oh, yeah, and, you know, you start thinking, like, maybe I'm impressing her and all.
Yeah.
I says, you know, just I start thinking, I wonder if there's any chance of getting the phone number and all. You're thinking that.
And were you laying it on, like, you probably know that I'm a famous broadcaster and a famous comedian.
There, yeah.
And a famous actor and a famous, and I've written plays and all.
No. I was doing the show and an interesting, you know.
Right.
And then I says, what did your ex do? And she goes, oh, he's a logistics expert. He designed the stadium for Tottenham Hotspur, and he actually has a meeting every month in London about the Queen's death and how they're going to handle it and what roads are closed and everything at the time, because he's going to be the man in charge of the logistics of the area and that space in London at the time. And then she says, what do you work at? And I says, I talk to Jim.
Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
Right, so once again, remember now, even though we don't know what to tell you as to how to vote, do vote for us in the Irish Podcast Awards.
Yeah.
Somebody who knows things.
Google it there. Clint will have it up by the weekend.
Everybody has, like, that person that they go to for technical advice.
Yeah, yeah. Like your dad with the remote control, you know. How do you do the sound on that?
Yeah. So, yeah, find yourself somebody who's technically adequate and say, how do I do a vote for PJ and Jim in the listener's choice in the Irish Podcast Awards? How do I do that?
You know, people don't know what we're saying to them. They'll be going, they think we're running for council or something. But it can be done.
Your posters. But we could do it, you know, honestly, and it is listener's choice, right?
So, yeah, it is.
I mean, and, you know, don't get sidetracked by anything kind of, you know, flashy.
No, do your thing now. Don't go, like, looking at cheap Fondler videos or any of that. Just get in there, vote, and get off the internet. Go out and enjoy yourself. Take us for a walk in your ears. That's what you need to do.
Yeah, don't get distracted.
Yeah. It's very easy to do with the internet.
Yeah, and watch out for any sort of, you know, jacket slashers or anything
they're out there, ladies and gentlemen, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, just have you got a recommendation to you know, podcast-wise?
At the moment, no, I don't. Actually,
you see, that's
no,
the problem.
I don't,
I'm struggling myself.
I can't
that's
find
the other
anything.
Thing we can do, actually. What you can do for us is, while after you voted for us, you can let us know if you've come across any good ones.
Yeah.
That we can use.
Please do, yeah. So we just stop. Don't have to talk to each other constantly. Like, we have a little distraction, you know. Give us something to talk about to each other.
But whatever you do, don't vote for them. Whatever ones you recommend.
No, that's the end of that.
That's the end of that. Knock that in the head. Right, let's get out of here.
Oh, jeez, I'm tired.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie, or on the Nova app.